Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett. I hope you survived the carnage of all the players out that happened this week. We had Fife, Kelly, Gaz, and to add sugar on top to that, we had Joel Selwood get KO'd in the first minute of the game. And as Joel Selwood being Joel Selwood, he said no to the stretcher and just decided to run off. Pretty brave stuff by Joel there, maybe. And we're talking all things waiver wire pickups and just a review of round 14. And as always, to help me do that, Stevie Fizz, how you doing, pal?
It's been a long trip back. I've been through the decontamination process. As listeners will know, I've been to South Australia.
How was that? Awkward time zone.
This horrendous time zone. Well, it was, I mean, who knew what was going on? Look, I'll give a postcard style of Adelaide after the show, just because people need their footy insight. The listeners can't handle me waffling on. But I will bring up this point. Now, I drove up there via the coast because I was playing golf at Port Ferry, and I came back inland. And Australia has an obsession with one thing I've noticed, and that is big things. You've got your big banana, your big pineapple. But going along
big
the
trout.
Coast, big everything. Just make it huge. And going up there, I stopped at a town called Kingston in South Australia. Now, they have the big lobster. Right, and it was pretty big, I got to say. But coming back on the inland, I stopped at a place called Dadswell Bridge. They've got the giant koala. I just want to pick Dadswell Bridge up here because that koala wasn't giant. It was about the same size as the big lobster. If you're going to name something, at least, you know, we like hot takes, but if you're going to sell something, don't go too boastful. Like, they're about the same size, but the lobster has the length. And also, when you scale a lobster compared to a koala, the lobster's obviously a lot smaller than a koala. So if anything should be giant, it should be the giant lobster. And not, come on, rename it. It's the medium-sized koala.
They didn't get it accurate to what a real koala is carrying all those STDs, did it? Just spotting it around.
What the hell are you talking about?
Didn't you know? All koalas carry chlamydia.
I don't have sex all with koalas.
Them. It's a well-known Australian fact. All koalas carry chlamydia.
Remind me not to go camping with you, Jono.
Yeah. Or have sex with a koala without protection. And on that note, we welcome to you, Statesman. How are you doing this week without your boy Aaron Hall not playing?
Yes, Aaron Hall and Barlow both in my keeper league, so that certainly hurt me. But at the end of the day, I seem to have escaped the carnage and wins all around in all my leagues and doing very well in the other formats as well. So it's been a good fantasy week for me. I just lucked through. Still had to make quite a few changes to all my squads, but all the changes seem to work this week.
Yeah, and also, Steve, you're in a bit of trouble there in the keeper league. By the looks of it?
Yeah, no, there's going to be no... I won't be celebrating this week, so the koalas can rest easy.
But I will say second and third place also lost for you, so you still keep your two game leagues.
That league's really coming up me.
A bit of news coming out of the weekend and the week we had the Ultimate Footy had their positional changes come out. Probably the two biggest ones coming out was Pierce Hanley out of defence, even though he did do his hamstring on the weekend against the Saints. And also, a little bit of interest, Kieran Jack adding forward status. If he can find some sort of form towards the back end, he could be a handy F4 or F5 for you there. Just quickly through the other ones, Harms added forward status, Murdoch forward, Heaney midfield, Jack Lemons added forward, the Chad Wingard got midfield status, Jack Sinclair midfield status, Ben Keyes midfield, Mickey Walters midfield, and Dan Lloyd from GWS got the forward status. Also, coming out of the weekend, Bashir Hooley, you reckon he's in a bit of trouble for that one? 2 to 3 weeks for that would you call it reckless elbow to Jed Lamb's head there?
Yeah, I think it's that's going to be the thing. I think it's it should be 3 weeks, no matter what, because he couldn't play out the match. I mean, he was out before he hit the ground. So, I mean, whether it's 3 down to 2 or just 3, you really don't know. It depends how. I mean, he certainly meant to throw the arm back. That's the thing. He meant to do that. Yep. Now we know he didn't mean to knock him out cold, presumably. But that's going to be up to the. And all eyes will be watching, Jono.
Oh, certainly will. As a basher only, I'm hoping it's a $1,500 fine and community service. Which is highly unlikely. A couple of other injuries coming out over the weekend. We saw Christian Salem. He jarred his knee and also did a tweak of the hammy as well. We saw Pierce Hanley go down and Selwood KO as well.
Dane Beams, mate.
Oh, Beamsy. I forgot about Beamsy.
Probably the big one.
That's all right. No one has Beamsy. Big Mummy just ran through him, and not too sure if it's dislocated shoulder or broken shoulder, but it was certainly a massive hit. Before we get into the social media things, Steve, we do have the Stremple from every now and again. I've got one this week. It's the Sydney Swans. Now, every Friday night, we love roaming Brian.
I like this.
We love BT, especially calling the great game that it was between the Swans and Essendon on the weekend. And here we are, Friday night, had a few beers. I'm like, beauty, roaming Brian time. Nah, Sydney Swans, you can't have roaming Brian. We have a structured interview process in the rooms after the games. I say get stuff to that. Give us roaming Brian. It's fantastic. It's great news. It's great to watch after the game, isn't it, Steve?
I'd rather watch Roaming Brian than the other football programs. Actually, when I was away, I actually caught about 5 minutes of the footy show, and I got to see the whole Caitlyn Jenner, and just, why are people out, like, surprised? This thing, it's been going like this for 15 years. Like, the whole street talk bit was him just beating up underprivileged, disabled people from the get-go. Why is this an outrage now? I mean, I actually thought it was interesting the way people called it out, especially Dangerfield just saying he's irrelevant and that's a person at his club, so it was interesting. But the front bar, why do people think the front bar's good? The front bar's terrible.
I've never watched it, to be honest. I might have seen 5 minutes and that's about it.
Like, Sam Pang's great, but Mick Molloy, when was he funny? When he was with Tony Martin?
Degeneration? The Late Show?
It's horrendous. Give me some fresh blood.
Absolutely. And if you do want to follow us on social media and give us your thoughts on Roaming Brian, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Because of Steve's golfing holiday, there was no dozen deals this week, but we did have Statesman skippers and late-week pickups. And check out the Facebook page there. But moving on, we are talking waiver wire pickups for the week. And when we do, we use the ultimate footy 65% rule, just so that if you're playing in a deeper league, you've got a bit more of a chance to get these players. And to kick us off with their waivers is Statesman. Fire away, mate.
Yes, first up, I have an on-baller. Sam Beamsy looks like he's out for a while. Reece Matheson took a fair bit of the on-ball role, turned up this weekend. And obviously now we'll get a fair bit more midfield time. So owned by only 36%, you should be able to pick him up in most of your leagues. So Reece Matheson, on-baller gentleman, do you reckon he'll keep that form up?
No.
Yeah, I actually do. I've been waiting for Matheson all year. Quite bullish, especially with Robertson out. I'd be very interested, especially if I was in the keeper league. I'd absolutely grab him. But even in a redraft, especially in a Supercoach format, because he's a contested beast. And what I like about Matheson is he seems to have the swagger. Like, I think if you're a young player, having a bit of swagger, having a bit of confidence is a good thing.
Yeah, totally agree. Next up is a bit of a fringe player, but he seems to be in good form over the last 5 weeks, and that's Jordan Murdoch. Ford for Geelong, only owned by 32%. He's averaging 75 over his last five games. And basically, his scores have been between 72 and 80. So he's just given you a solid score week in, week out. So great option to pick up if you're struggling for a bit of forward depth. The next one didn't play this week, which is Sherrod Wellingham. Actually been out from injury, come back via the waffle, hit really good form. He's averaging 72 in the AFL this year, has had a few weeks off with an injury, only owned by 61%, and great comeback this week, and I'd suggest he'll be straight back in the team, especially after their loss. They'll look for a little bit more security in their defensive line. The next one is Lewis Jetta, one of the great little players over the years, especially when in his time in Sydney. He struggled for West Coast in his time there, but he's really hit some form over his last four games, averaging 85 and only owned by 60%. So Lewis Jetta looks pretty sharp. He's got his run back, and we know he can actually ton up and ton up big when he gets on that big ground. Next one is a risky pick, but it's Tom Campbell, ruck for Western Bulldogs. Now, we never know what's happening on a ruck case with the Western Bulldogs week in, week out. We don't know if it's rough Ed Boyd, but Campbell come back in because Tom Boyd was out injured. He's only owned by 53% and tunned up well, 125 this week. So I think he's worthwhile if you're struggling in the ruck or if you're relying on Cam Pedersen. Take a risk with Tommy Campbell. You can't be the worst option out there. And I will quickly mention, too, I mentioned last week, because they continued their really good form, and that's Nick Robertson, defender forward for Brisbane. 85 is the average over his last five games. Another really good game on the weekend, only owned by 36%. And the other one who I think is playing magnificent footy is Kane Lambert for Richmond. He's listed as a forward, but he's running through the wing, owned by 65%, and a nice big ton this week. So that's backing up. He's averaging over 90 in his last five. Kane Lambert.
Yeah, I like that one as well. I had Nick Robinson on my list as well, playing pretty well the last couple of weeks. Steve, who have you got there for your waiver wire pickups for this week?
Yeah, actually had a few of those guys. My number one waiver pickup actually didn't have, and that's Tom Langdon from Collingwood. Only owned in 44% of leagues, defender for Collingwood. He was back with a nice score on the weekend. I thought his score was actually a little bit better than his form on the field, but him and Sharon Goat are, for mine, vying for the same sort of spot. Now, if the forward line's a little bit taller, I think they'll go with Scharenberg, but if they're a more mobile forward line, like we saw at Port Adelaide, it's going to be hard to leave Langdon out. We know he's been good before. I'd certainly pick him up, especially in my Supercoach leagues where we know he's been a good scorer. So Tommy Langdon, not a problem there. I'll be putting in a bid on him. Reece Matheson, like Statesman said, I'd absolutely bid on him. Kane Lambert, how about the last three, Statesman? 103, 96, and 114.
Oof. Magnificent.
Also had Tom Campbell. I will give you a couple more. This guy is at 66%, so just over our threshold, Jono style. But it's Mark Blixarves. Is a midfielder. He's been scoring well. Had over 20 hitouts today. Now, what the Geelong ruck setup looks like, it's much like the Bulldogs. We sort of don't know. But he has scored pretty well recently. So Joel Selwood might get up, might not get up. We know he scored well before, so I kind of like that potential there. We know he can lay a tackle. We know he can get hit-outs. We know he can get the ball. All good things. Next pickup, if you need a ruckman, Nathan Vardy has actually put some good form together. 64% ownership. Playing the Western Bulldogs, that's a team you can score against if you're a ruckman. I've got no problem with that. West Coast, they play Etihad better than they play the MCG. I don't think it's the worst if you're in maybe a two-ruck league or you're in dire straits with your ruck situation. And the last one I will give you, and I wouldn't put in a waiver bid on this guy at all, but I certainly think he'll slip through, and that's James Sicily. Only owned in 9% of leagues. The Hawks are in great form. List as a forward. Playing Collingwood. I would expect them to get the chocolates against Collingwood. Hawks playing pretty well. Yeah.
And Sicily was playing in defence against the Crows on Friday night and taking a lot of good intercept marks as well.
He was playing great. I think he's a really good pickup for the week if you need a forward plug. No problems at all there.
Yeah, no, some good pickups there as well. Had a few of those myself. My top one, alongside Tom Langdon, is the Ghost. He's back. We know he can swing forward as well. Whether Buckley will do that, we don't know. In 63% of teams, first game back, scored quite nicely in both formats. Used him as a plug and play this week in the Listener League, so I was very happy with that.
That's Ben Reed, right? Just for the people who don't know the nicknames.
Yes, Ben Reed. So my other one is Ryan Bastanek. Only in 40% of teams. Last couple of weeks, I thought it was just a flash in the pan for him, but with Beams out for an extended period, you would think, alongside Matheson, you could flip a coin who's getting the midfield time, but you'd think they'd both share it, tunned up the last couple of weeks. 40% ownership for Bastanek. And my last one is the Statesman boy. We talked about him last week. That's Braden Fiorini. In 54% of teams, tunned up against the Saints. So if Aaron Hall is out for a couple of weeks, you would think he's going to get some extended game time there. And that's it for me, as you guys mentioned, all the other ones. So moving on,
Sorry, just quickly, when we have the same ones, to me, that's generally a stronger indication that you should be spending your waiver pickup.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Tommy Langdon was probably my number one this week because he had that first game back before the bye,
yeah,
where he was a bit so-so, and now he's had that game under his belt, he's flying.
Oh, it just seems like the last couple of weeks we've all sort of had a big range, but dialed in a bit more this week. I like it.
I think it's also getting close to the finals as well. You'd really want to nail down your team, and you're only picking up these guys as sort of a plug and play injury type, you would think, and hopefully hit some gold.
I'd use Langdon.
Oh, I'd use Langdon as well, especially with Colo Jasny out this week, and maybe out for a bit longer. We don't know. If you are liking the show, we are on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. If you love it, hit the subscribe button so you get it each and every week to listen to on your way to work, on the train, wherever you want to listen it to. And if you really love it, hit the review button. It really helps our brand to get us out there, promotes us up the rankings. And if you do, we'd like to read it out and just give you guys a bit of props. And moving on from there, we've got the late week pickups. I'm reading the wrong sheet. We're doing the round 14 review, and kicking it off was on Thursday night. Thank God the Thursday night games are over, because I drink way too much thinking it's Friday night. We had the Crows taking on the Hawks, where we thought the Crows were going to win in an absolute canter, but geez, Hawthorn were actually fantastic on the night. Tommy Mitch being fantastic for the year for the Hawks, just racks them up each and every game. Ricky Henderson playing against his old mob, I thought was fantastic. Got you 120 in Dream Team, 113 Supercoach, so well done there. Sean Burgoyne, wound back the clock, playing through the guts, playing forward, playing just about everywhere. Scored you quite well in both formats, 114 and 123 Supercoach. Grant Birchall just really seemed to steady him up there in defence, scored you quite nicely, got you the ton. Thought Taylor Giray was pretty sound as well. Liam Shields, he's actually putting together some quite a couple of good games of late, getting in the 90 Dream Team, 109 Supercoach. But one that was a bit left to field with me was Big Boy McAvoy. We've seen the Ruckman score quite well against Sauce Jacobs in the previous weeks, but just didn't seem to get the job done. So bit of an anomaly for Big Boy, as Steve, maybe you did give him that roundhouse kick when you saw him there in Adelaide.
Yeah, I was walking down Rundle Mall and saw Big Boy and thought, not bastard, I didn't have you. So I tried to take Poppy out as well, but my swing went over his head because he's about 4 foot two.
Wow.
I did see this. They've got actually sculptures of Tommy Mitchell in the middle of Rundle Mall as well. There's about four of them.
Of Tommy Mitch?
Yeah, there's like four pigs getting into bins. Shout out to the Dream Team boys.
Moving on to the Crow side of things, Matty Crouch having a great year, laying the eight tackles, getting you 130 in both formats. His brother Brad was also pretty good, getting in the 116 Dream Team, not quite the Supercoach ton. Michael Talia was pretty good too. He got you the Supercoach ton and the 83 Dream Team. But Hugh Greenwood, man, he looked fantastic. Got you about 120 in both formats, got you the nine tackles and two goals. If you haven't picked him up in your keeper leagues, I'd be running out to grab him right now because he looks an absolute star for the Adelaide Crows. Tommy Lynch, Jenkins and Sauce were pretty good, serviceable. They gave some pretty decent returns for scores there. But Rory Laird, whew, that's two games now that he's put up some poor scores. I wouldn't think anything cause for concern, but it seems the tag on Rory Sloan is the way to go to shut him out. And if you've got him, I'd be looking to maybe do a trade or just battle through it.
Yeah, there's some suggestion that maybe teams have worked the Adelaide Crows out a little bit. If you throw an extra couple men back and tag Rory Sloan, that maybe you can get on top of them because the midfield really isn't anything special, really, outside of Sloan. I mean, they're good soldiers, like, but there's not a lot
they
of...
They need to be in the...
Watching that match, it felt like it needed a couple of big... Yeah, needed some biceps, quite frankly, because they have no. There was no leadership. Their captain's Taylor Walker. For me, there's no impact from Taylor Walker.
No, and you saw Hodge. He had the Channel 7 mics on him. He's running around directing everyone in all parts of the ground. I thought it was great.
You don't need bloody Wayne Malira faffing it around for eight possessions. Need the gun show in there, just rocking houses. Like,
that's it.
Yeah, I'd be grabbing him. I'd be thinking about grabbing him.
He'd certainly have to come in the next week or two, you'd imagine. He'd have to.
That was a team that needed some leadership on the field, I thought.
Yeah, playing Carlton next week as well, so it'd be interesting there.
They can't drop that game.
No, in Melbourne, so it'd be interesting.
But look at Carlton's defensive setup. It's generally pretty handy. I don't know.
Ed Curnow's been doing a pretty good lockdown job as well on the last couple of weeks too.
So I don't know. It'll be an interesting match.
What was an interesting match was Friday night at the SCG between the Swans and the Bombers. How you can kick four goals in, what was it, 2.5 minutes or something like that, I don't know. But the Swans seem to have got their mojo back.
They certainly have, but it's fair to say it wasn't the best game, but it was an amazing last quarter. I mean, between Reed and Franklin, they kicked 1.9 goals. So Sydney should have been certainly in the game a hell of a lot earlier than what they were. But credit to Essendon, they just kept piling on the pressure and got themselves in a magnificent position. But, of course, unfortunately, the Lollies would have copped an absolute pounding at the end of the game after Goddard's kick was smothered. But an amazing finish, and it's one of those. And we've had so many games this year with such close finishes, and it's amazing how many teams have actually come back and actually won from being behind late in the game, and this was another one. Of course, the man who's got the poster in my bedroom, Mr. Isaac Heaney, had another magnificent game, and there was a lot of debate in the fantasy world of where he would go, averaging 72 last year. And although there was a lot of hype, obviously people were saying settle down, only be a 10 to 15 point rise, it's still important, but he will become a gun. Well, gentlemen, even after glandular fever and a slow start, he's now averaging over a ton a game. Isn't that quite amazing? So Isaac Heaney, third year breakout, absolutely smashing at 122 this week and was absolutely superb. JPK continuing his stellar second half of the season form as he does on an annual basis, pumping out 118. Lloyd, he's only had the one hiccup where he got injured. Every other game, he's just been absolutely wonderful. I think his lowest score other than that was an 86. He went for 116 again. He's just that link-up player between defence and the midfield, and they always use him going out. Callum Mills was in really good form. He's had a pretty disappointing season for what most people expected he was going to do, averaging just over 70, but put out a ton, 109 this week. Lukey Parker, a rare ton, but he does look like in good form, gentlemen, so I'll start seeing him scoring well. Dan Han continues his up and down year, scoring 88. Buddy Franklin should have had a massive score and probably would have copped a pounding with his super coach kicking so many behinds, but he scored an 84. Nick Newman was important late in that clash and scored a 78. Kieran Jack slightly getting back into form, gentlemen. I don't think we'll see what he used to be, but 73. And Papley looks like an absolute ripper, that kid, for 72. So magnificent game for many of the Swans there. For Essendon, Zach Merritt just continues his way, keeps on getting a heap of the footy, averaging 120. If he's in your squad, he should be your captain week in, week out, 120 for him. Hurley's been in fantastic form, would have been very late pickup in the drafts, maybe even waiver wire, but he's averaging over 90, gentlemen. That's a magnificent effort for a key defender, 105. Dzak got 105 as well. Job Watson continues his up and down year, gents, pumping out a 90. Dummy Spit got an 89. Joe Danaher had the game-saving mark with 40-odd seconds to go, but unfortunately didn't save the game for long, scored 77. And Dyson Heppel, gentlemen, it's really hard to read how his game's going to go. Only did a 61 this week. What is the go with Dyson Heppel?
Seemed to be playing a little bit down back on Friday night as well, and it's just really weird with Essendon. They've got the guys coming back from suspension and the young bloke, so I think they're just trying to give a bit more time to the young guys in the middle. I don't know. I haven't really seen a lot of Essendon this year, so it's pretty hard to comment, but that's what I read on from Friday night.
Yeah, I don't know. I bet against Dyson Heppel at the start of the year, so he throws him in. What do you say? He's a good player, but he'll throw him in.
Yeah, and I doubt if he's going to finish up averaging over a ton this year.
Well, he's done my bet good this week, I'll put it that way.
But that's a wrap-up of a magnificent game, gentlemen.
Hey, just quickly on Parker, because I've got Parker in my Supercoach League, and the last 3 weeks he's knocked out tons, but then between 100 and 110, he's looked great when he's been playing. But I'm wondering if we're ever going to see the 130-plus score from him this season. It feels like he's capped.
Look, it does, and it's more the role. And I think what they decided to do after that early season, and of course he had a bit of a pre-season injury he was managing through as well, but I think they've decided to really rotate through that midfield. And Heaney's getting time. Zach's getting time when he's not suspended. Lloyd's having time through there. And you're actually starting to see Mills having a bit of a run, although it's starting in defence and sort of sweeping through there. So I actually think they're just sharing the role. I think they keep Kennedy as that main midfielder, and everyone else seems to rotate through.
Well, Kennedy doesn't really have the other tricks that the other guys do.
Correct.
Yeah.
What's Parker? I haven't seen the research, but Parker's hitting the scoreboard. Is that probably affecting his score as well, not spending as much time forward?
Well, he is spending time forward, and he seems to be making an impact there. But you're right, he's actually not putting, kicking as many goals, even though he is spending time up there.
But I will trade you for Nathan Jones for Luke Parker if you're not happy, Steve.
I've sent my offer.
I've seen it. I'm thinking about it.
It's a decent offer.
It certainly is. Just looking at the matchups and finals and all that coming up. But one team that's probably not going to be playing finals this year, and that's Collingwood, who took on Port Adelaide on Saturday afternoon.
No, that is a team who is in for about 5 years of pain. A lot of good fantasy scores, though, gentlemen. It's amazing when you get beaten senseless from pillar to post that you would have 200 more, almost 200 points more than the other team in Dream Team, and 140 more points than in Supercoach as a team. Quite unbelievable. But all the usual suspects fired. Steel Sidebottom continues his rich vein of form. Jeremy Howe, another good score. Pendle's good score. Adams, good score. Grundy, good score. Trelaw, good score. All those boys in one got you a ton in one form or both. Tom Langdon roared back into form, as we said. But whether the scores were better than he played is up to you. I think they were. But just the forward line, just there's no talent there. The entries into 50 are just horrendous. They tried to get more involved in the ruck, couldn't do it. He just got beaten up. I don't know. They dropped Josh Smith for seemingly no good reason. I don't understand what they're doing. James Aish isn't. I mean, he came in highly regarded. He's had his moments, but nothing of any great substance, I wouldn't have thought. I would have thought Josh Smith was doing quite a lot better. I really don't know where Collingwood have gone, to be honest, because they've topped up with these guys like Daniel Wells and Chris Mayne, and I just don't understand it. I think they've done what Michael Voss tried to do at Brisbane, and that's they were not that they were the same team that Brisbane were, but they've brought in trying to get the quick fix and get finals and save the bacon. And I think it's backfired. And they've lost their last two first rounders. What are they doing? I don't understand. I think they're in a lot of trouble. But the top end guys, they'll keep pumping out good fantasy scores for you, and that's all that matters.
Have they got money in the bank to chase a key forward, like a Sam Reid or anything like that?
I couldn't tell you. I wouldn't have thought so, but, you know, I'm not a great accountant. Maybe they've got fantastic... Yeah. Maybe they've got... Who was that guy from the Storm? What's his name? Brian Waldron.
Brian Waldron.
They've got him in. I don't know, man. Who knows what Eddie can do? Maybe they'll get 50 grand appear on the footy show. But there was a great team out there, and that was Port Adelaide, and they were fantastic. But it was funny because the statistics for the match seemed really even for the teams, but it just looked like they beat them up in the middle, and when the ball went forward, it was with purpose, and the talent was there to win out. So well done to them. But interestingly enough, no Dream Team tons.
Not even from Robbie Gray?
Nope. 99 and 146. Wow. For the man, Robbie Gray, who had it on a string with five snags, he was sensational. So there you go. Supercoach does reward you in some times, I guess. Ollie Wines was fantastic for his 90s. Ryder, really good battle with Grundy, I thought. I couldn't pick it, but I thought it was fantastic. Sam Pau Pepper was nice. And there was just a lot of meh scores. As Collingwood looked to control the ball, Port Adelaide just ran it forward and busted Collingwood's defensive setups. So, I don't know. I thought Boak actually looked better than his 70s. They gave him a little bit of a run-with role early, and it seemed to get him into the game and got him winning some ball. So he might be a guy you might throw out a super low ball offer on if you needed a back-end midfielder. I don't know. Probably not for me, but if you needed a seventh midfielder, he might be coming into some form. Not a lot to get excited about from a fantasy perspective, to be honest.
No, they've seemed that way, Port Adelaide, this year. Ebert
was well down. Wingard gave you an okay Dream Team, pretty crappy Supercoach score. For surprising, in a win that was just... Like, they bashed Collingwood up. Like, they really did. That game wasn't close.
No. So. No, and they seem to have done that this year as well, Port Adelaide. There, two or three guys will score well, and the rest has just been pretty vanilla.
So, anyway.
Moving on to the Twilight game, we had Brisbane taking on the GWS, and a lot of GWS fans thought it was a danger game with Kelly out and Brisbane up and about, but wasn't the case. A 10-goal loss to the Brisbane Lions.
Yes, not many highlights in this game either. On the fantasy side, there was a couple that are available on the waiver wire. Matheson, as we talked about before, turned up with 108. Looks like he's going to be a ripper little player in and under. Steph Martin, for a second time in 3 weeks, has actually turned up with Archie in the team. Do you think that's something that's going to go ahead, gentlemen, or do you think he's still going to struggle with Archie in the team? So we've got 260s and 2 tons.
As a Steph Martin owner, I won't be selling. I'll put it that way.
What about you, Jono?
No, I'll agree with Steve. Just hold on to him for now, and hopefully Archie gets the boot.
The consistency might not be there. That's the thing you got to worry about. But he can still score.
And maybe his ceiling's not quite there.
Well, that's true. But I also think Steph doesn't generate a lot of his points from hitouts either. So with the midfielders out, maybe that sort of offsets it in some weird way.
Yeah, no, that's a fair call. Robinson did well again, 98. Rockcliffe still under par at the moment, gentlemen, with 96. Do you see his form turning around and getting back to what we know?
Yeah, absolutely. He's a gun, and cream always rises to the top. So we know he's been battling that shoulder and had the illness last week. So maybe it was lingering a bit. Who knows? And he'll get back to his best.
It's the most time on ground he's actually had this year. Obviously, Beams going off the ground early probably would have impacted on that. But I can see him doing a fair bit of time resting up forward for the remainder of the season. So it'll be interesting to see. Again, I think he's still going to score well, but I think it might just hurt his ceiling a little bit. But we've all been burnt by Rocky somewhere along the way. If we haven't got him, he's smashed out 180. If we have got him, he's been hurt and injured early and scored a low one for us. Bastanac, as we mentioned in the waiver wire pickup, scored a 92. Tom Cutler continues his good form. It was just the injury game that affected his average with a nice 90 this week. And Louis Taylor as well. He's just been pumping out good mid-range scores this year, averaging around the mid-70s. So Louis Taylor's been a good pickup late in your drafts as well. But that was about it for Brisbane.
Thanks for that. And the first Saturday night game was the Bulldogs taking on North Melbourne in a thriller.
Jeez. You don't even want to know about GWS.
A little bit, please.
Just a little bit.
They won.
Heath Shaw?
Yes. Well, we'll get to Heath Shaw at the end of my wrap-up. But this was a dominating performance. 66 inside 50s for GWS to 42 to Brisbane. Really different to how GWS usually score, in that it was sort of like Sydney of old, where the top end scored massive and the bottom end scored crud. Because there was a lot of great scores for you. Johnny Patton, Jeremy Cameron were absolutely massive with 4 snags each. Ward, Shield, Green, Whitfield all gave you fantastic scores. Callum Ward, you know, and Shield, these guys have been down having to share the pill all around. Now the talent's not around them. They're pumping out the nice fantasy scores for you like you wanted. Stevie J, we mentioned him as a pickup last week. He gave you a damn good score. Nice big ton. But yeah, the defenders, Zach Williams, 45 in Dream Team, and he's sure in the 250, you can take that zero away, and that's about what he gave you. Although he'd give you 60 somehow in Supercoach because it's fake and whatever.
Kicks to himself on the when the points are being scored, that's why.
Well, even he sure got it into himself on Twitter afterwards. Twitter. Did you see that? That was quite good. I like that. Good work.
They use boots.
But did manage to trade Heater out a couple of weeks ago, and quite frankly, I'm not regretting it.
And that was Steve's wrap-up of the GWS. But Saturday night, it was the Dogs taking on North Melbourne. The Doggies seemed like they'd come out to play. leading with Jack McRae. We've had a few questions from our listeners about Jack McRae as to what to do to him, with him. We've said hold fat, and he seems to have produced the goods again, giving you a very nice score in both formats there, 137 and 122. The Bont, he was back to his best, just tearing, attending centre clearances, which is fantastic. It seems Bevo's learned how to coach in the last couple of weeks with all the media criticism of Stringer and Johannesson, and we'll just leave it at that. And Lucky Hunter, what the hell? Actually tunned up in both formats. He's been, as a Lucky Hunter owner, he's been on my bench for the majority of the year, and that's where he stayed and missed out on the ton for Lucky Hunter. Jakey Stringer was pretty good, playing a selfless game, which is good. What you like him to see. Did a nice rundown tackle. And I'm trying to keep a straight face here. Come on, guys. Had a nice rundown tackle on Sean Higgins, bang on three-quarter time there, as caught the play on after his 30 seconds was up, and Higgins didn't hear it. Luke Dalhouse was good. I thought Easton Wood was good down back, even going forward, kicking a goal, got to the ton in Supercoach. And as Statesman said before in the waiver wire pickups, Tommy Campbell got you the 125 Dream Team, 120 Supercoach. I think he had about 40-odd hit-outs against Goldie, who looks to be a little bit shot. I don't know what the hell's going on with Goldie, but Tommy Campbell, I thought, got the better of him on the night. And Toby McLean had a fantastic game, got you a ton in both formats. But Tory Dixon, man, was he even out there? He just seemed to be really lost to me. So that was the Bulldogs for me.
And, gentlemen, when's Bruce actually going to be developed? Because they're sitting now second last on the ladder, Kangaroo.
Big problem, I think, for North Melbourne is they should really be trading Goldstein to a team who's in the window. But there's not many suitors for a ruckman. Like,
GWS,
I mean,
GWS if Mummy dies.
Sorry?
GWS if Mummy goes.
Yeah, but I mean, look at it like this. Like, they're going to lose guys to salary cap. How are they going to get Goldie in? But we're sitting here with this abundance of ruckmen. You didn't need to draft one early. Well, the AFL is going to mirror that, isn't it? Like,
yep.
The teams at the top, I mean, maybe Sydney? Maybe?
Western Bulldogs?
But they clearly don't care about... They clearly don't care about ruckmen, so...
They change theirs on a weekly basis.
Exactly. So, true. Like, what are you going to get for Goldie in a trade? He's clearly worth a lot, but you're not going to get it.
Freo, because Sandy's on the way down. Geelong.
But Goldie doesn't have much left, you wouldn't have thought.
Still, what, 27, 28, so maybe two or three more good years.
Yeah, but if he's breaking down, then who's going to...
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
And Bruce is your ruckman the next time you play finals, isn't it?
Absolutely.
For sure.
Why not put games into him?
That's crazy, Brad Scott, for you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, part of me thinks, isn't it a thing? Because I just go, oh, give him games. That'll get him better. But I always think gifting people games is a dangerous thing.
I don't think it's gifting. His form has just been sensational, whether it's VFL or when he plays AFL.
Do you drop?
I think he's earning the spot.
Should you drop Goldie?
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? You're right. He's a high quality player and has been the best ruckman in the competition, but he doesn't seem to be playing like that at the moment.
No,
certainly not. But North Melbourne, fire away on those, Steve.
Drop weight.
Drop weight. Yeah, that didn't work out.
You're calling me fat.
Well, look, the umpires won this game for the Bulldogs anyway because the free kicks were 26-14. We've had another bullcrap shot clock screw job on Sean Higgins. Just classic Bulldogs lining the pockets of the AFL. Cunnington with... well, I mean, to be fair, it's North's fault because of Mason Wood that the whole shot clock thing being turned off got initiated because knee-jerk reactions of the goddamn AFL special. But Cunnington top scored for your dream team with 92. He's back, man. He's over his niggles. He's playing good footy. He didn't handball every single time, unlike last week. Jared Waite was good. Got you 88 in dream team. Got you the ton in super coach. Higgins was fine. Goldie was, look, he didn't give you what you expected, but he was fine. Jack Zeeble was fine. But this is just a team that needs a star or two. Because everything else is there. The setup's there. The structures are there. They clearly play for each other. But there were some real down performers in this game. Sam Gibson, Jamie McMillan, Luke McDonald, all down. I honestly don't know how they only lost by a goal. They're just...
Point.
Oh, point, sorry. Yeah, not goal. But the more I think about it, the more I think about it, this result says more about where the Bulldogs are than where North Melbourne are. I'm not sure North Melbourne are travelling along great, and I think it's... I worry about where the Dogs are defensively, because there was a lot of ordinary kicks going into the forward line that should have been picked off by the Dogs that just weren't. So I'll continue to look to play players on a weekly matchup against North Melbourne.
Yeah, for sure. And moving on to the other Saturday night game, we had the West Coast Eagles taking on Melbourne. Honestly, did not give Melbourne a chance after about 3 6-day breaks in a row, but they have come up smelling roses with a gutsy 3-point win over there in the West. And Bernie Vince has been in fantasy purgatory for the whole year, just giving us absolute crap. But I don't know if it's because of Nathan Jones being injured, but he came out with a nice ton in both formats for you. Jack Viney, standalone captain, 26 contested possessions. Thank you very much. Giving you 107 in Dream Team, 107 Dream Team, 127 Super Coach. Tommy Mack, all Australian, full forward with 5 snags. Steve's loving it, pumping the air because he's got him in his team. Maxi Gorm.
I traded him in out of one team and then that didn't work. In the other league, it was all right. Yeah.
Big Maxi Gorn coming back for his first game up against the might of Vardy and Petrie. Played him into a bit of form, just missing out on the ton in Dream Team, but got you in Super Coach. Clayton the Diver Oliver.
How many weeks until Gorn's at his best?
He'll be right. He'll be right. Because normally with those hamstrings, I say 2 weeks if you're like a midfielder or running defender. We saw it with Jason Johannesson last year, but as a ruckman, you're probably not doing as high intensity sprinting, so I think he's okay. And they are playing Sydney next week, so it's not going to be a running game anyway, so he's fine.
I don't want to call people out on that dive. It was a dive. He hit him in the friggin' chin.
Sweet chin music, bit of...
yeah.
It wasn't a dive. You know, you don't know what force he was hit with, so... Well, he's down for the counties.
What's the old joke with it, like when you get grazed on the nuts? Like it's like you've been shot. I mean, it just... I don't want to be hit on the chin by a goddamn 6'5" behemoth.
No. And, you know, Oliver's not the biggest bloke going around as well, so...
No.
Fair whack. Maybe it was the time difference from Western Australia to Melbourne that we saw that delayed reaction. Who knows?
It is an illegitimate time zone.
And Jeffy Garlett. Ugh. Absolute stinker. Has been in some rare form of late, but gave you absolutely nothing. I think he only scored you about 15 in both formats, so no good if you had Jeffy Garlett. But the West Coast Eagles, they tried their best, but just came up a little bit short there.
They certainly did, and the two biggest scorers aren't generally big scorers in Petrie and McGovern, 121 and 105 respectively. Good form continues for Andrew Gaff with 101, although he should have had a much higher score. I think he was just underneath the ton going in at three-quarter time, so quite a quiet last quarter for him. Dom Shee continues his good form, gentlemen, and he certainly would have been one available in the waiver wire about 3-4 weeks ago. Scored 96 and got his average for the season up to 87, so a forward or a midfielder on the waiver wire, depending what format you've got him in, Certainly averaging 87 is quite worthwhile. Vardy scored 96, so he was comparative to Gorney's score. Elliot Yeo has slowed down since JJK's been out of the team, gentlemen, and he's scoring the 87. And in fact, his actually average has dropped 4 points in total, seeing the time that JJK's been out. So I'm sure those owning Yeo will be a little bit concerned of what that form's generating. I think his last three now is averaging below the 100 mark. Pritis has had a reasonably quiet season compared to his normal standards. 79 for him is now just in the mid-90s. As we talked about, Jetta's form's improving with a 77. Luke Shuey is another one that seems to have dropped in recent weeks. He was one of the gun on ballers leading up to the buys, but certainly dropped away. And your new pickup, Steve, did quite well with his 69, mate.
Very happy, very happy.
Okay. Who'd you trade out for him?
Tom McDonald.
Had Tom go?
Oh, no, no, he'll be... what did he do? Did he do anything?
103, Tommy Mac.
Ah. Yeah, I don't know.
So you lost 70 points trading out a... you lost 30. Over 30 points trading out a defender to get a mid in. That's good bargaining power, mate. Well done.
I feel... yeah, but my replacement midfielder was Joel Selwood. He only scored 12 or something. So when you look at it like that... I feel good about the deal. It was the deal I needed. So you got to push your chips in sometimes, Statesman.
Fair enough.
But
Luke Hodge is waiting for your team whenever you're willing to give me a decent offer.
I don't give that decent offers. That's my shtick. That's my shtick. But would you suggest to people to be floating out an offer on Elliot Yeo? That's my big question. If his form has been poor recently and we would expect JJK back within the next fortnight at the worst, do you think now's a good time to float an offer on one of the premium forward options or defender if he's in that?
Absolutely. It's certainly worthwhile to try right now.
Because we certainly look for those windows of opportunity.
Absolutely.
Certainly do.
Jono, you didn't touch on my boy, on the God, who gave us 90-something in Supercoach.
Who was that?
Cam Pedersen.
Yeah, he was serviceable. He was all right.
90s. 90s.
But once the goat Hoags comes back in, back to the Magoos for you, Pedo.
Well, who knows when that is?
3 to 4 weeks, apparently.
Oh, 2 to 3. So okay. It should be 1 to 2. I don't know. Anyway, we got to get Cam on the show. That's what we need.
Find out where he lives. Door knock him.
Door stop him.
Fine.
Boom.
Fine. moving on to the Sunday games, we had the Cats. How the hell they won this game against Freo? Get up by 2 points. Joel Selwood, as we said at the top of the show, was KO'd within the first couple of minutes. But the slack was taken up, as we saw Dangerfield. He's on track for another Brownlow. Scored you massively again. Mark Blixavs was absolutely fantastic. Took up the slack, getting you 126 Dream Team, 135 in Supercoach. Was in the late week pickups article, so well done if you did grab him. Sam Menegola returned to a bit of form, getting you 123 in both formats. Zach Tui was pretty good in the Dream Team format, getting you a ton, only the 90 in Supercoach. And I thought Mitch Duncan's scores deserved better than what they came out. Didn't get the ton in either format, but I thought he played quite well and was deserving of a better score for me. But the Freo Dockers, they led for pretty much three quarters of the game and died away in the last quarter there.
Yeah, it looked like it was going to be a surprise win, the Freo away game and missing a lot of their stars. Big shout out to their first gamer in Darcy, was played very well in the ruck and scored an 80. Mr. Walters, it's be hard owning him. He's either an absolute jet or he's nothing. Well, this week he was a jet. 122 was his score. But surprisingly, he's turned up so many times in the past 6 weeks. But his average is only 73, which is a right concern. Brad Hill continues his great form, 112, and that's got his average in the mid-90s. Connor Blakely is going to be an absolute superstar, gentlemen. He's never going to cop a tag. He's just going to rack up the footy. 107, so that's got his average close to 90 for the season, gentlemen. He's going to be an absolute star. If you've got him in your keeper, make sure you're keeping him. Tucker scored quite well as well, 99, and looked quite good. The two Lockies, of course, if your name's Lockie and you play for Fremantle, they should be in your teams, 96 and 91 respectively. And actually, Lockie Weller could have kept on running, take another couple of bounces and take the shot himself rather than try and pass it right in the last 30 seconds of the game. And it was a great opportunity for them to win that too. Unfortunately, they just missed the shot on goal. Spur back to some decent form. He's been a bit up and down as well, 84 for him. And as I mentioned, the young ruckman look pretty good as well. So promising future for Fremantle to go all the way to Geelong and actually take it up to them, where they were obviously, Geelong were fancied to win that game by quite a fair margin. The kids are actually looking okay in Fremantle, and a few of them worthwhile looking at and keeping, especially your type like Weller and Tucker. I think they're going to be, and Blakely, they're going to be very good players.
Just a question. People might find this shocking, but a couple of weeks ago, I just cold dropped Steve Hill. Where's he at? What's going on with him? Because he started out the season quite well, got the injury. Everyone went past him. He's come back being horrible, if we're being honest. Is there upside, or is he just I've dropped him, so that's done. That's
the problem with Steve Hill more than anything else is a midfielder. So there's so many other players that are ahead of him. He was actually a defender, and they played him off the halfback flank. He'd be worthwhile being in your league or in your team. But he's just one of those players, and he is year in, year out. He has his hot spells and has his cold spells. That's just the type of player he is, and he's very much an outside player and just not in good form at the moment. But, look, that'll turn around and have a hot spell again.
Right at the start of the year, he was definitely getting the contested ball. It just seems that's just dried up, and he scores with it. So.
Yep, and unfortunately it does happen with him.
Mm.
Confidence also in his could body. Be with, and also Walters and that running through that midfield probably not getting as much time either. The second last game of the round was Richmond taking on Carlton. Carlton were actually in this game for most of the game right up to the last quarter, where the Tigers kicked away in the end.
Yeah, Carlton were in the game because Richmond let them be in the game to an extent. Richmond just continue to be fast and move the ball at breakneck speed. When it works, they look $1 million and they'll win the match. And it worked for most of the game today. But when it didn't work, that's when Carlton were able to score a goal. Look, Hooley is obviously the big story of the match. He will miss weeks. What it is, I don't know. But if you're a Hooley owner, I'd certainly make plans on the waiver wire to try to pick up someone with a little bit of substance, not just a match-up play. Kane Lambert, as the statesman spoke about, was fantastic again. Continues his good form. Sean Grigg got the ton. Very nicely done. Hooley did score well when he was there. Dustin Martin copped the tag, but in the second half when the match was there to be won, he stood up and said, "I'm winning this match." Didn't kick the goal, but set everything up with his just fantastic penetrating kick. 96 Dream Team certainly gave you a nice super coach ton, a high ton as well. Brandon Ellis has really reinvented himself with his roll off half back, continues to score really nicely. And if you're in a dual position league, he's worth his weight in gold now, quite frankly. Toby Nankervis, Jono, I know he's just left. He had the gut feeling to leave because I was about to talk about a player he just traded out. But it looks like he made the right move because Nank is clearly wearing down, Statesman.
Oh, absolutely. And look, since the break, he's been, I think his average is around 69-70. So we thought he would have rested up, refreshed, and got back. But we also know he got a corky in the calf last week, and there was doubts of whether he was going to play. So we don't know if that's hampered him a little bit and just could have been a little bit sore. So hopefully that picks up. But, yeah, his form hasn't been fantastic.
No, certainly was undersized, but not getting the around-the-ground ball that he was. Cochin was down. The game probably didn't suit him. And Rance gave you a fantastic Supercoach score, as usual, picking off all the long bombs for the Carlton team out of defence. On to the Blues. They were the polar opposite to Richmond, where they're just playing the chip-chip, safe ball-use game. Unfortunately for them today, it just didn't come off. But they did have a few injuries. Petrescu Seaton got injured. Jed Lamb was obviously dead, and so that didn't help. But the usual suspects all scored pretty well for you. Doherty, Cripps, Gibbs, Cruiser, is he the All-Australian ruckman at this moment?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's quite unbelievable. We mentioned him as a great late-round ruck for you, and, man, if you got him, you certainly paired him with someone you got in the second or third round, another all-star player, and hopefully it's not Heath Shaw or something, but, you know, that's what the late-round ruck provides you. You've got a top-five ruck and hopefully a top-five midfielder or defender, so good luck to you if you got him. I thought Dale Thomas continues his really good form. I'm not sure what's going on there, but...
You recruited Matty Cruiser at the start of the year and traded him on. Hindsight, would you keep Cruz or Cruz?
I just cold dropped him.
Oh, you dropped him, did you? I thought you traded him on.
He was my third ruckman.
Oh, wow.
in a four-bench league. So.
No,
I'm very happy with Steph. Very happy with Steph.
Yeah.
But you've got to remember, I got Steph in the round 13 or something.
13, 14, yeah, that's
so,
right.
So... I could have had him. I could have had Sam Jacobs in round 17. That was like my ruck setup. Could I have traded differently? It was really hard to trade Steph Martin earlier because he was averaging 120.
The price tag was a bit too high.
He was braining it. But the problem is no one pays for a ruckman.
It's true.
Because people were... There was Ben McAvoy was doing well. Max Gordon hadn't been injured yet. Nank was fine, Grundy was fine, Sandy was fine. No one had been injured yet, so had I shown... This is the problem. If you show patience, you miss out on all the great waiver pickups at the start of the year. Like I got Menegola off the waiver. Like you just... It's a hindsight game. Could I have played it differently? I could have. Would it have worked out better in trades? Well, that depends on your trading partners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing about trading ruckman is you're really limited in your trading partners because seven people in your league have got locked down ruckman, so you're limited to the two other players in your league to trade. Well, if you can't get a good deal out of them, then that player is essentially stuck. Worthless. So it's all part of the game. Dale Thomas continues his rich vein of form, as we mentioned. Carlton are playing pretty good footy, so good luck to him. And just the guy who just every time I watch Carlton looks just stands out like a sore thumb, and that's Charlie Kurnow, man. He just looks the goods, and if I was in any sort of keeper league, especially in Supercoach, I'd be grabbing him, stashing him, because when this team gets good, he's... I don't know who to compare him to, but he's got the tools, we'll put it that way. Comparisons are dangerous, aren't they, gentlemen?
Certainly. I'm sorry, I was just reading a tweet here from our good mate, We Got Big Cox.
I saw it.
All right, now I just want to read it out for our good friend Stacey here, that's all, and our listeners.
Let's say it.
As we know, We Got Big Cox has got a bit of a rivalry with Stacey here. He goes, not 5 minutes after he has finished playing, and Volta is already hoarding salt for next week's grudge match with at Stacey 33.
I'm sure he's injured this week.
No, he's been building, so watch out for a big bag from Nick Riewoldt. But the last game was St Kilda taking on the Gold Coast Suns. This should have been a lay-down mazare. for the Saints, but gee, they did make hard work of it at times, but ended up away with the chocolates. Jack Billings was fantastic. Got you some really good scores there in Supercoach, 130, 111 Dream Team. Kobe Stevens, just a tackling machine, but doesn't equate to a Supercoach ton, even though you have over 15 tackles in a game. Only the 97 there for Kobe, 115 Dream Team. Jack Steven, how the hell did he score well in this game? Just unbelievable. Scored at 95 Supercoach, 113 Dream Team. Luke Dunson, putting together a couple of nice games there for him. Got you 99 in Dream Team, 19 Supercoach.
Very happy with my Dunston pickup, Jono. My boy, Dunston.
Your boy. Look at the table of turds. Jeez. Absolutely bags him down at the pub, but gee, get on the pod. No, he's my boy now.
Hey, look, if Jack's, what's his name? Steele? If Steele's out of that team.
Jack Steele.
If Jack Steele's out of that team, Luke Dunston is my boy.
Joey Montagna, again, got you some really nice scores. Sam Ross, slightly down on in previous weeks, only got you in the 80s for this week. So no cause for concern if you're a Sam Ross owner there, I would think. But the Gold Coast Suns, yeesh.
Yes, good comeback. Well, they were missing a lot of players, and obviously losing Hanley early in the last quarter did not help their cause, but they took it up to St Kilda for the first three quarters. Harbrow had a great comeback game with 116. Braden, the young boy who we mentioned on the waiver wires before, 111. So there's an opportunity that he will get a fair bit of midfield time over the next few weeks with their missing four or five midfielders. 111 for him. Witts did quite well again in the ruck, and clearly now the in-form sort of late pickup of ruckman, he would have been probably in the 20-plus rounds, 109 for him, and he's now sitting averaging as the sixth-best ruckman just behind Big Boy, and I think he'll take over Big Boy next week. I think Cam Pedersen will drop below him as well, so he's right up there. Callum Archie looks to be a highly talented player, scored a 92, so he's one longer term in the keepers. Martin's been a bit up and down this year, but averaging mid-70s with a 90 this week. Tuke Miller, I was probably expecting a big score with all the mids out, but only an 85. He's been a bit disappointing this year, gentlemen. Do you think he's going to get back to his late season form from last year?
For Miller, it all comes down to his kick-to-handball ratio. And if you look at his matches, he'll have matches where it's four kicks and 15 handballs. So he's getting the ball. He's in the right role. I mean, the guy's listed as a forward. If he's giving you 80s, which is what he's giving you, you're pretty happy. But there's always the upshot that he swings that kick the handball ratio around a little bit and he could give you 10 extra points. And if he can get some tackles, then you're laughing. I'm very bullish on Miller, to be honest.
Fair enough. And the last but not least, Jared Lyons, who I probably expected a bit more out of this week after his last few weeks of magnificent form, only scored an 84 this week. So Jared Lyons' average in the mid to high 90s.
Yeah. I would have thought you got me there, Stacey. no, I thought he would have scored much better as well, being that number one. I thought he would have been the number one midfielder.
Who suggested he wouldn't be last week, just by the way?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. We don't have that on record at all.
Oh, yeah.
But no, yeah, I thought he would have been the number one fielder, the biggest scorer, but obviously not. Needs old mate Gary behind him. We're in front of him. But we do have a few questions this week coming from James Ashid off Twitter. We go ask, what is Sloan worth, do you reckon? Packet of Tic Tacs and a can of lemonade? No, you got to hold fast with Sloan. Someone's taken him as a high draft pick, and they're going to probably want something very valuable in return. The form's not there at the moment, the tag, but Dom Pike will work out something to get Sloan back into the games. What do you reckon, boys?
I think that'll happen.
I would suggest that right now Rory Sloan is worth more to his owner than he is to a trade partner, which makes it excessively hard to do a trade. Now is the best time to buy Rory Sloan, don't get me wrong. And I'd certainly consider his finals matchups if I was trading for him, because if you've got Rory Sloan, you're probably going to play finals because of how blisteringly hot he was through the first 12 weeks. Now, if you're playing around 19 final, got Collingwood, they're not going to tag. Who else is there?
Levi Greenwood.
Port Adelaide, they might tag, but that tag's very breakable in Powell Pepper, if that's who in fact gets the role. Essendon, traditionally not tagging. So to me, there's actually pretty good matchups for Adelaide in the finals. So what's he worth? Let's say I own Tom Mitchell. I'm not trading Tom Mitchell for him, but I might trade, like, in a straight swap. I don't know. Would you trade Dalhouse for Sloan?
All depends on your matchup, but it's a trade you look at for sure.
I think Sloan's a two-for-one trade where I'm trying to give someone like a... I might give Luke Shuey and...
Nathan Jones.
No. Might give a Luke Shuey and a Matt Suckling, like a low-end position player.
Yeah.
I certainly think he's a good player and a captain option. I'd float an option, but he's probably worth more to the owner than he is to... He's probably harder to try a prior way. If I'm selling him, I'd want a good deal.
Yep, agreed.
From John Hines as well, off Twitter, he asks, who has been your best pickup so far this season?
Matthew Cruiser for me.
My best pickup? Pooey. That's a good question. I did trade Adam Treloar on the cheap. That was good.
trade rape, there, you mean?
That was a fair deal at the time. Well, you said it was fair. I can't help... Hey, look, the fact that Devin Smith breaks down every second week, that's not on me. All right?
That's true.
My best pickup, probably... I actually traded him on, probably Connor Blakely, through the year. My best draft pick was definitely Steph Martin in round 13 or something.
I'll say my best pickup would be Lucky Whitfield when he was just sitting on the waiver wire. And I'd say in trade, got to be Sam Doherty in the Keeper League. Ugh. Can't go past that at all.
What was that?
And I got Jared Lyons.
Which person who's never played fantasy did you wrangle that deal off?
I just absolutely wrangled it by a guy called the Statesman. Just easy pickings that one.
Oh, sorry, Jen, I'm a bit tired.
And the last question is from Phil on Twitter. He goes, what do you do with Dan Rich?
Well, drop him. I don't care.
Yeah, it all depends whether it's a keeper or one season. But if you've got him in a keeper, I think he's got some value you can trade away, because longer term he's probably going to keep his defensive status. So someone will be attracted to that. If it's a one season thing, unfortunately, there's probably not too much you can do. You're not going to get a lot for him.
Unless you use him as a steak knives as part of a deal.
Well, I mean, look, the fact is he hasn't been going that horrendously.
No, he's had a good last month.
Like, he's not going... Like, you would have drafted him pretty late, I assume. Like, he's... Well, maybe he's not returning value on where you drafted him, but he's not been the worst. And, I mean, let's be honest, there's injuries in that team now. Maybe he gets more midfield time. Like, it's a possibility.
Yep.
Stick fat?
Well, I mean, you can't... Because he's a defender, he's probably better than the pool.
Yes.
Yeah. So even if you just stash him on the bench and see how things shake down, maybe use him in a plus matchup. Who they got coming up? Well, I mean, realistically, GWS is probably a plus matchup for a defender. So, not great. Yeah, I'd just throw him on the bench.
Essendon next week. So.
Yeah.
Pretty open game there.
Bloody Daniel Rich.
the bane of everyone's existence. He's like the poor man Bryce Gibbs. You don't feel great about owning him, do you?
He's like Reece Palmer, but he's getting a game.
Did pretty well in the Magoos as well, too.
Reece Palmer. Hey, look, if he's not in this week, Carlton are tanking. Let's be honest. That's it for the questions.
That's it for the questions, unless you got any more.
No. Did you want my Adelaide wrap up?
Oh, go for it. I'm hanging on by the edge of my seat here.
All right. So as the people know, I went to Adelaide. If you like your golf, definitely go check out the Mount Compass Golf Club. It was called Fleurieu, or however you pronounce that previously. Awesome track. Awesome. You can get on if you're a green fee player. Fantastic. There's no one out there. Beautiful course. Pie floater. Boys, I'm about it.
Yes.
I'm about it.
Yep. Yeah, great.
Nothing wrong with
it. Never had one. Can't comment.
Nothing wrong with the pie floater. I thought it sounded horrendous, but, mate, there's a solid meal. I enjoy it. Fruit shocks, however, you can just take that bag and throw it in the bin.
What the hell is that?
It's like chocolate wrapped around. Mrs. Fizz loves them. So, you know they're bad.
So you think you're eating healthy, but you're not.
It's just it's like a Malteser, but inside it's got actual bits of fruit.
Yeah.
It's a thing in South Australia. They're just horrendous.
But my question is what the hell is with glass sizing beers over
there? This is the big problem, Shono, and this is where it all went pear-shaped, because I'd ask for a schooner,
and I got a pot.
I got a pot. And there was a quizzical look washed over his face. Because he was already half cut. And he drank it. I was at the golf club, actually. I said, give me a schooner. And the guy poured a pot. And I said, schooner. And he goes, that's a schooner. So I hit the Google, boys. And in South Australia, a pot is called a schooner. A schooner is called a pint. And a pint is called an imperial pint.
Yeah, I've been to South Australia as well, and I got caught out the first time and asked for a schooner and got the pot, and I'm just like, well, what the hell is this? I want the big glass. So then he had to walk me through their stupid glass system.
Well, I just assume it was so they can tell hero stories. Like, if you and I were talking to a Adelaidean, or however the hell they say
that. South Australian?
Yeah, there you go. I'd say, I had 10 schooners at the RSL, and they'd go, well, I could drop about 15 or 16, I'd go, my God, how good of a drinker are you? But reality is they're not, Jono.
No, they're only drinking half of what you've had.
They're just it's a horrendous situation. They're just liars. They're just liars.
We need reform here in Australia. We just need a universal glass system so we're all on the same page. Because if you go to Western Australia, you've got middies and ponies. And
I can handle middies. God knows what I know what a middie is because I've been in New South Wales. That's fine. That's a pot. I understand that. They're not calling a pot a pint or giving it some fanciful, call it a flamingo for all I care, as long as it's different.
The statesman's got a quizzical look on his face because he would know what he's got, wine glass and that's it.
Exactly right. Tassie Pinot.
Well, yeah, but what are you drinking it out of? Statesman, I went to the National Wine Centre. There's about 20 different bloody wine glasses. Do you use a Bordeaux glass, mate?
No, I use a classical stemless glass.
A tumbler?
Stemless?
Yeah, a tumbler.
He puts a straw in the bottle and that's it.
He's got his correct. He's got his cognac glass and just gone to hack. No, there's a lot of different glasses. But the National Wine Centre, gentlemen, I've got to say, this is a fantastic setup. And if you're in South Australia, definitely go check out the National Wine Centre. Free tour. You can do all the seeings and sights and all that. But they've got 120 different wines you can have a taste of. You can get a 25ml taste, a half a glass or a full glass. Different prices, of course. Had the Grange, gentlemen.
Ooh.
Tried the Grange. Not my bag. So I spent $37 on that 25ml.
Whoa.
But yeah, there was a lot of. Hey, discovered I love Tempranillos.
What is a Tempranillo?
It's like a dry red, it was good. Oh, trust me on that one, John. And a Grenache. But very good tour. And yes, went to the casino, played some poker, lost some money, won some money. But let's say they're very aggressive gamblers. And yes, gentlemen, I did Shannon Knoll it up.
Oh, God.
Let's say Monday night is not the A lineup.
Oh,
that's all. So,
and on that note, I think we're going to wrap the show up. If you do want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check us out on Facebook and check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got a dozen deals dropping, Statesman skippers and late week pickups dropping as well. Thank you very much for listening and good luck in your matchups.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.